You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey girl, and welcome to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. We are circling back with this week's episode, talking about the dangers of spiritual entertainment. Y'all know last week I told y'all, God told me and gave me a word about spiritual entertainment and how it really is eating us up in the body of Christ. And last week was for the leaders, but sis, this week is for you, okay? Because the same way that leaders have a responsibility in terms of what we put out, how we position ourselves, there is also a responsibility that you have sitting up under someone. And so God has not allowed the fact that there are leaders not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the church. He's going to deal with them, but he's also going to deal with you. Okay? He's also going to deal with you and me and anybody else who sits under and consumes spiritual entertainment because that is your preference. I told y'all last week about that episode of the Meet the Parents podcast where they talked about how things that go viral are just a sign of the appetite of the body of Christ. And when I tell y'all the stuff that we retweet, repost, that's so deep, it don't be that deep. And a lot of times it's not even the truth. And so this week, we are going to take a deep dive into some scriptures and really talk about what is so dangerous from the position of you being a parishioner, someone who is consuming spiritual entertainment, what danger that poses to you. Now, immediately, every time I think about what God has told me in regards to spiritual entertainment, it reminds me of 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. It says, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." Let me tell y'all about how my friend sent me something that really ticked me off. And I know she knew. She was also agitated. But I know that she knew that I was talking about spiritual entertainment. When I tell y'all that one of y'all favorite internet pastors made Resurrection Sunday about self-improvement and it made me so mad. How? How do we make the work that Christ did on the cross about getting back to yourself? Sir, please. It just grieves me, and people are packing out these churches and there's no real depth. There's no real depth. There's nothing wrong with the word being applied to your life. But what we have to understand as believers is there are some things that you should just want to learn because it's the word of God. Everything does not need to have 3 and 4 steps of application. Today in the society, I had the opportunity to teach. We're deep diving into the armor of God. And we were talking about the helmet of salvation. In that, we talked about how salvation is this ongoing process. We talked about salvation being justification, sanctification, and glorification. There's no application outside of you understanding that. Sanctification is the process that we're living in now. Justification happens when you give your life to Christ, and glorification happens when he comes back. That is very important for you to understand as a believer. And there's no 3-step, this is how it's going to improve your life, improve your bank account. You should know that because your hope is in the salvation that Christ provided for us on the cross. And so many of us have taken this, the old school, like, used to have prosperity gospel, like, sow a seed, get your millions. And what has happened is purpose has been positioned as prosperity gospel. So when I hear talk about the prescription for purpose, I make it very clear. It's God's word that is the prescription, because he wrote it, the scriptures. The purpose we're serving is his. And there's no guarantee that you're going to have a bunch of money at the end. Everybody's not going to be millionaires, but God will provide for all of our needs. And way too many of us have gotten caught up in operating in our purpose and throwing God's name on something, not because you love the Lord, but because you are looking for a reward at the end. You have itching ears. You want to hear what you get out of the deal, but you're not really committed to surrendering your whole life, your whole being, your mindset, and everything about yourself to Christ, simply because God is good, simply because he sent his son to die for us on the cross. We have become so self-centered and not focused on our Savior. We have these itching ears where you think that you can, you know, 1, 2, and 3 step your way into purpose. No. We've allowed ourselves to be lulled to sleep by these half-baked, not even good exegetical text. Like, you're not even exegeting the text. You're not even giving what God said. You are barely scratching the surface. And my friend said this, like, God is not complex, but he's deep. And I said, you know what? That's so good, because like, a pool is deep, but it's just concrete and water. But the pool is still deep. And we need not to confuse the depths of God with him being complex. It's not that hard. It's not so complex that you can't understand it. But when you look at the depth of what God has done, at the way that he's laid things out so perfectly, when you look at how God will use the foolish things to confound the wise, and when you look at who God is in his magnificence, like, in school recently, I learned about how our brains prune information. This is going to be a whole nother episode, but if you don't think immediately while I was studying, I was like, wait, pruning like John 15, like God prunes things that don't bear fruit. Your brain does the same thing, Buki. It's called synaptic pruning. Look it up. Okay. God has designed our brain to do the same thing that he does. If you don't use the information, your brain prunes it. Yeah. Like, deep, not complex, very deep. And a lot of us never get to this level of revelation where God can really reveal to us the mysteries of how he works, can really reveal to us the depths of his word, because we are so enamored with the gifts of people, the gifts of people being good orators. They can speak good. They can entertain you. You're so caught up in the gifting that you're not checking fruit. Do not confuse gifts and fruit. They are not the same thing. Remember that God says that his gifts are given without repentance, meaning that he does not do takebacks. So even if you don't live the way that he wants you to live, he is a good God, and you could keep the gift. But what we need to do as people who are consumers is we need to check for fruit. And when I say fruit, I mean the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, peace, patience, joy. I'm not saying perfection, but we should be looking for progress. There's one person in particular who once again is like back in the news because he out here cheating on his wife. Personally, I'm sick of him cheating on his wife. Like, this is like the 14th million thousandth time. You didn't have a near-death experience. Why are we still playing these games with God in his church? And you're a leader? And why are us as people, as consumers, why are we continuing to follow his leadership? I'm not saying that we don't pray for him because everybody sins. What I'm saying is, why are you continuing to show up and have this man steward your soul? And he needs to sit down. He needs to do some deeper work with him and God. And it's evident in the fruit. he's lacking self-control. He's lacking true love for his wife. He's not loving her like Christ loved the church if he's out here cheating again and again and one more time and running it back. So how do we hold them accountable? We stop going to that church. We stop sowing our money and our tithe into that church. You need to have sound leadership and sound wisdom. Do you not find your soul to be that valuable to where you can't be playing around? We care more about our edges being snatched than our souls being snatched. And I'm confused. I love a good sermon. I love an encouraging word. I'm here for all of those things. Encourage me. But nothing should be more encouraging to me than God yoking me up. Because the word says that he disciplines those whom he loves. I'm tired of the fluffy stuff. I don't want that. I need to feel checked. And every time I go to church, baby, I feel checked. Even if I'm excited, I'm still reflecting. Because I eat good at my church, okay? Shout out to Pastor Keith. I eat good at my church. And it's not about, oh, I love my pastor so much. I do love my pastor, don't get me wrong. But let him get the tripping. I'm out. Let him not teach the word of God. I'm out. Because I love God more than I love the person who's in position. And if he's not faithful to God, I'm not going to be in this place. And a lot of us don't have that same kind of value. A lot of us are worshiping our pastors more than we worship God. We'll go to our pastor and ask about something before we go to God. And that's not how that works. It's just not. We have a responsibility to ensure that we're sitting under sound counsel, that we're not sitting with itching ears, that you're not leaving a church every time you're offended because you're getting called out. Praise God for the call out. You don't want to hear nothing that talks about sin and you needing to repent, even though hell is real. You don't want to hear that. And the minute we stop allowing these people to feed us garbage, you will start seeing revitalization and rejuvenation within the body of Christ. We're playing right now. And this is not a new concept. Like, you should really be making sure that you are checking the people that you hear. I don't care their title. I don't care how long they've been in ministry, because people fall. And we need to be wise. We need to make sure that we're not falling to wolves in sheep's clothing. We need to make sure that we're not being devoured by the devil. Remember, I told you that the devil is subtle, so he's not going to come out and be like, worship me. But he's going to give you enough truth and then a lie. And your discernment and your behavior of going back and your discipline of going back and searching the scriptures for yourself, studying and showing yourself approved, is going to keep you safe. If you're not going back, even when you hear me quote scripture here, if you're not going back and checking and citing my source, you're tripping. You're tripping. If you're not checking me, you tripping. If you're not checking the sources and going back and reading the scriptures in context after you consume, you are tripping. You're leaving yourself vulnerable. And you're robbing yourself of any revelation that God would give you in that. And this isn't just me. I'm going to give you Bible. Let's go over to Acts. That's New Testament, okay? Acts 17. And this is where Paul and Silas are in Berea. And it says, that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. When they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They had tried to go to Thessalonica. The people weren't trying to hear it. Paul and Silas, they had some haters. They had to leave, okay? But they were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. They listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. As a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men. I need us to focus in on the part where it says they were eager to hear. Oh, we love Paul. Big Paul used to be Saul. Okay, we know about his history. We know who he is. We know that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. We hear you. And also, I'm going to hear you and I'm going to run and check them scriptures eagerly. I'm going to search them. I'm going to get to the bottom of the matter. And a lot of us are out here eating garbage food in the spirit and just taking it as truth. We're standing more on somebody's name, standing more on their follower account, standing more on the fact that you can retweet this and somebody shared this than you are going to search the scriptures to ensure that they are teaching you the truth. Because you want to be entertained, you're not really trying to be fed, and that's problematic. Spiritual entertainment is a direct enemy of our spiritual development, and that's why, although there are so many churches in America, the church has lost so much of its power. We are tripping. We're not making moves. There are other demonic groups of people who are out here having more influence over the government and over all of these different things. And the church has no power because a lot of us are being lulled to sleep. And it's important, just like we talk about eating a healthy diet so you can live long, it's important that we learn how to eat our vegetables, okay? Like, you need to learn how to eat your vegetables in the spirit. We have gotten so familiar with fast food, prophecies, and these little words that seem hot and ready, okay? Like the little Krispy Kreme light. It smells great, but you cannot eat that. Not every day. There's a lack of nutrition. There's no substance. And so then when you get to a place where you're being tempted or you're dealing with a trial or you're dealing with tribulation, you fall. Because this whole time you're living off of junk food in the spirit. This whole time you have no real nutrition. You're still on milk. And then a lot of us do this thing that I talk about, and I call it spiritual gluttony, where you consume so much stuff that you're not even putting it to application. You're just consuming. You got notebooks full of just notes, lessons, conferences.
Okay, you're gonna freak out at this deal. Chatbooks is giving you 12 monthly mini photo books for just $12, plus free shipping. It's the easiest way to finally do something with all those photos on your phone. Finally. No stress, no hassle, just memories made easy. Go to chatbooks.com/get12. That's chatbooks.com/get12 before this deal disappears.
What have you applied? Because what good does it do you for you to eat the food, but it not provide nutrition to your life? It not transform you? What good does it do? So now you're just consuming for consuming's sake. You're not allowing that word to transform you. You have to take the things out your notebook and put them into application. What does that look like? That looks like listening to this podcast and then going and studying the scriptures that I share. And then making that a habit. Pick one thing. We talk about a lot, but pick one thing. You're reading a book? Cool. Pick one thing this week that you're going to apply in the book. If you don't pick nothing else, start the practice of after you go to church, you watch a sermon, you get in your Bible, and you study the scriptures that were mentioned in that text. You go and read them for yourself. That's one thing that you can do that after listening to this podcast is going to provide actual spiritual nutrition to your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, let's not just be doing this for entertainment to check this off on our list. Let's do the things. People's souls are at stake. Your soul is at stake. And a lot of us are feeling like we have to go to other people to get a word from God. But if you just made time to seek him for yourself, you would hear from him. If God will speak to me about you, he would absolutely speak to you about you. You don't need a title for that. You don't need special credentials for that. God is no respecter of persons. But you do need to be in relationship with him. You do have to be in proximity to him. You do have to start training your flesh to do the things that you may not feel like doing. And a lot of times we are so excited to get a word that ain't even from God. And because we are not spending time with our shepherd, we don't know his voice. When somebody prophesies in your life, God's prophecies and his word, his rhema word, meaning a word that he gives to you, his spoken word, is never going to contradict his written word. So if I say something to you and I'm prophesying to you, it should draw back to scripture. Because all prophecy is me foretelling or forthtelling what God is saying. That's the biblical definition of prophecy. I'm just saying what God had said. That's why a lot of the prophets weren't liked. Okay? Like, if you read the Bible, you find out most times what the prophets had to say was unpopular because it was the truth and it was going against what people were doing. It's not all this rah-rah feel good. Sometimes, yeah. But most times, it was like, hey, y'all tripping? God about to pull up. And he said it's like that. Like, that's what the prophecies were. And it was unpopular. And people weren't paying for prophecies except that one guy who the donkey, okay, Balaam, him. Yeah, go read about him and find out how God had to circumvent him and talk through a donkey to talk to this man. And he still set the people up. The prophet did to sell them out because he knew their weaknesses. Okay. Like, let's learn how to test the spirit by the spirit of God. Let's learn how to go to the book, the instruction book that God has left for us, his written word. Anything that someone speaks into your life is never going to contradict God's written word. It's just not, because he's not a man that he shall lie. So we have to really understand the importance that we have, the role that we have. Because if not, you are never going to experience growth. Let me tell y'all what Paul said. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. The author of Hebrews is unknown. I just feel like Paul be thugging. Anyway, Hebrews 5, a call to spiritual growth. I'm reading verses 11 through 14. There is so much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now, you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic thing about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It's a read, a biblical read. How many of us are operating in a way that we're still spiritually dull, that it takes one thing to knock us off our path? And I'm not saying that we don't go through, but you should be able to see, like, at some point we're not talking about how God loves you no more, and you don't have to be convinced. Because, girl, what? Like, you don't have to continually be convinced that God loves you and you're saved. Please. Carisha, please. It's been 15 years. We still talking about salvation with you? By this point, you should be teaching someone else something. You're never going to know everything in the word of God. I started this podcast simply based on me knowing a little bit of something and sharing what I did know. You don't have to be at the end. None of us are going to be at the end till Jesus come back. But if I'm at letter F and you're at letter A, I got about five or six things I can teach you. But a lot of us are so spiritually dull that we are not even understanding the role that we play. Even in our local sphere of influence, we are taking and consuming stuff that is not even the word of God. We're making it sound churchy, but Christ ain't in it. And we're eating it up. And we really need to make sure that it's not a heart posture thing. Because again, yes, some of these leaders are evil and they've been planted by the enemy. And also, check your heart. Because if the only time you're excited about God, you're encouraged about God, is when you think you're about to get some kind of material blessing, check yourself. Check yourself. The material blessings that God gives us, they can be exciting. It's beautiful, right? When God does miracles, it's great. Also though, the blessings of God should not only be relegated to us gaining material possession. The blessings of God, you feeling encouraged, shouldn't be only when God comes through for a bill. I'm encouraged when I get a word that corrects me. Because I know that God still loves me. Because the word says he disciplines those whom he loves. Huh? That's encouraging to me. That's encouraging to me. I'm encouraged when I understand that God is revealing to me ways that the enemy is trying to trap me. Because he's going to cover and keep me and protect me. He's going to continue to guide my path. And so while those moments don't feel great, I'm encouraged because I'm growing to look more like my father. I'm encouraged when I can share a word like this, although it may be uncomfortable, although it may be hard to hear. I'm encouraged that God's even trusted me to share this message because I know it's necessary and the right person is going to hear it. And I love you enough as your sister in Christ to be like, hey, tighten up, Bookie. Daddy said he's not playing. Our dad said he's not playing. Sorry. We can have fun. We can be authentic. We can be ourselves. And also, we need to make sure that we're representing our father. And also, I need to be about my father's business. You're never going to catch me on here on 10 ways to get your millions. You're just not. That stuff don't even matter in the grand scheme of like your soul. It don't even matter. We have to make sure that we are willing to submit to God. If you are not growing in God, it's not because the word don't work. It's because you're either sitting under someone who's not edifying you, educating you, and empowering you. That is the role of leaders in the church, to edify or build you up, to empower you to go out and do what God says, and to educate you on the scriptures. If you're not getting those three things, and when I say edify and build you up to do like what God has called you to do, that don't mean just within the four walls of their church. Huh? That means to do whatever God has called you to do. So if you're at a place where they only want you to work in their building, sis, take it to God. That don't sound like the word to me. But you have to stop being so enthralled with being entertained, so enthralled with the relationship that no relationship supersedes your relationship with God. Like my relationship with my pastor never is going to supersede what God has called me to do. And every time you're unwilling to submit to God, every time that you're unwilling to separate yourself from spiritual entertainment, you're going to remain spiritually dull. You are going to be devoured by the enemy. You are not going to be able to experience that personal relationship with God. Even though you are doing the things of God, the Bible talks about people having a form of godliness, but possessing no power. It's because they're spiritually dull. It's because you're doing the things and you're not really connected because you're not in God's word. You don't know the truth. There's no transformation because there is no truth. And you cannot have transformation without truth. You have a responsibility Like, God gonna deal with these leaders. You have a responsibility. How many of us have dealt with church hurt? Not only because the people are trash, but because we weren't going to God and checking what they were saying. We weren't really looking and praying and asking for discernment with dealing with these people. God was sending 10, 50 million people to tell you, hey, you being manipulated. And because you believe that your pastor came across the pulpit and said that they were haters, you didn't listen to the warning that God sent. You didn't even take it to prayer. You just believe the pastor because that's your pastor. So God's going to deal with them. And also there's a level of responsibility that we have to search the scriptures, that we have to test the spirit by the spirit of God, every spirit. But we're too busy being entertained and getting caught up in position and pomp and circumstance. We cannot allow ourselves to be devoured by the enemy and then we swear off God, but we're not following his instructions, the things that he's put in place to safeguard us. You have a responsibility. Even if you never, ever plan on becoming a pastor or sitting in a pastoral role, you still have the responsibility of studying and showing yourself approved. You still have the responsibility of testing every spirit by the Spirit of God. That means you have to get in your word. Study this book of instruction. Meditate on it day and night. It doesn't say that only pastors do that. All of us have been instructed to do that. All of us have a role to play in bringing people to the kingdom. And so the same way that we are protesting Kellogg's, okay? Because I ain't had no Rice Krispies or no Pop-Tarts because I don't play that. Don't do us like that. Don't hike your prices and don't do us, okay? The same way we protest, we need to protest these trash pastors and leaders. And prophet liars. We need to be done with spiritual entertainment. We can joke a ki 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 ha ha. I love a good example. Not if it's a distraction. I love a good demonstration. But is it a distraction? Your pastor talking about if you can out soul save me. Excuse me, sir. Jesus saves souls. Red flag. But we just enjoy swag surfing? Okay. All right. All right. We need to be mindful of what we consume. The same way you count your calories. The same way that you read the labels on the back of your food. Because the enemy don't care. The enemy will use anybody who allows themselves to be used. And he's counting on you not doing your homework. He's counting on you just taking everything as truth because someone is in a pulpit. There are atheists and there are people who are Satanists that know more scripture than believers. And we got to pull it together. God is not playing with us. This is not the time to be playing at all. We need to really be striving to be mature in Christ simply because we love God, not because we're trying to get the things. And I know this may not be popular, but it's the truth, friend. This ain't even got to be a popular episode. It's the truth, and I'm not worried about it. Because somebody's soul needs to be saved. Somebody is attached to you. There's an assignment on your life. And you are so busy being entertained. We're so hyper-focused on our situations. We're so enthralled with ourselves. We're so self-absorbed as Christians that we're not trying to give our life to God. We're trying to see what God can give to us. We serve him, not the other way around. He's already given us the greatest gift. We serve him. He's a good father. He'll give gifts, but we serve him. And coming any other way, not training yourselves to hear anything outside of all of the junk that we see coming across social media. That if the words don't rhyme and if the video don't look a certain way, that you there's no fruit. We off that. We have been set free and we are going to be mature in Christ. So girl, I love you. Okay. I'm going to tag that episode again of the Perrys. I pray that y'all hear my heart, but most importantly that you hear God and you go ahead and run back on them scriptures. Go over to 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. Go over to Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. Go over to Acts 17, 10 through 12. Go and read those scriptures. Go and study what God says about false teachers coming and the false doctrine and the doctrine of devils and how people are going to try to argue you down and how people are coming up with their own myths. This is not anything that God did not already warn us about. So it's up to us to heed his warning so we don't get devoured. So I love you, girl. Be encouraged. Share this with somebody who needs it. Make a commitment to God that you are going to train yourself to be mature and do what he has called you to do. Do and be who he has saved you to be. Okay? I love you, sis. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, real talk. How many pictures are on your camera roll right now? Enough to induce a little stress? Let's take a deep breath. Friend to friend, I want to tell you what finally worked for me. Chatbooks. They make it so easy to actually do something with all those photos. And right now, they're giving us a podcast exclusive, mind-blowing offer. 12 monthly mini photo books for just $12, plus free shipping. That's a full year of printed memories for less than you'd pay for 1 month of streaming. Sleep better at night knowing your memories are safe. Just pick your photos and the Chatbooks app does the rest. Go to chatbooks.com/get12. That's chatbooks.com/get12 and grab the steal before it's gone.